Our scripture lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 12, way back towards the beginning of the story, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, God, we pray for the gift of wisdom, for the gift of discernment, most of all for the gift of your Spirit, that it would blow through this place, that it would stir our hearts and minds, that it would fill the words that are spoken, that it would equip us to be your people in this time and place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I like the most about the materials for this series, What Shall We Bring, is our stewardship series for this year, published by our denomination Center for Faith and Giving. What I've liked most about these materials is that all of the scriptures that are suggested have nothing whatsoever to do with stewardship. None of them are scriptures that you read and think, oh yes, this would make for a great time to motivate people to put a little extra in the offering plate. This is the stuff that we normally hear when it's stewardship time, right? The Lord loves a cheerful giver, right? That's the time when it's time to get out your pledge cards, you know, do it cheerfully, get a sermon about that. There's no references in this series to the first fruits of the harvest and to tithing. There's no no scriptures from Paul's letters about the equipping the saints or the gifts that God gives us for ministry and how all parts of the body are essential to motivate you to give your time and your talent. They're all scriptures that you read and think, what on earth does this possibly have to do with stewardship? And that, I think, tells us something about how we've learned to think about stewardship. We've just learned that is the time of year in the church where we maybe just disappear for a few weeks, or we get these pledge cards and we're going to come, we're going to feel a little guilty and a little pressured, and that's what it's all about. Not that we associate necessarily the wrong things with it, I think we just think about it in too small a way. We think it's about the allocation of resources, it's about pledges and about percentages, and it is about that, but it might be better to say and to think more broadly about what all that really means. It's about how we can share and amplify the good gifts of God that are all around us. Otherwise, it just becomes empty paper and pen and numbers. Jeremy is our stewardship chair, is knee-deep in administrative tasks, and lots of you have gotten letters, and he's putting together letters and cards and stuff to make sure this process goes right, and all of that is true, but it's not just that stuff, right? Giving is also an act of worship, which we'll talk about next week. We think it's about budgets, right? We're going to see a budget. Some of us are going to want to see the line items, and we're going to see administrative costs and how much do we spend on stamps and copy paper and landscaping and all that stuff. But the big picture that we want our budget to tell is that how it is that we are living into our call to be co-creators with God in birthing what God wants to see alive in the world. What is it that our community of faith is involved in bringing to life in our community? The broader question that shapes all of these little things is, how is God calling Covenant Christian Church to be a midwife, facilitating the birth of God's new creation in our community? So take our story this morning. If we're going to learn something about stewardship, I think, from it, we need to think more broadly about what is here and whether or not it's broader than money and time and talents and all of that. I think in this passage there are some deep truths about what God calls us to do and be. And then I think there's also a life-giving way of seeing what stewardship means that would get us out of that soul-sucking way that we often see it. So Abram's clan, at the end of chapter 11, Abram's clan, they're from Ur. It's an easy name to say. That's where they're from. And they've picked up and they started heading toward Canaan. And then for some reason in the end of chapter 11, they stopped. We don't know why. It just says they stopped, they settled, they unpacked. They got far enough where they were going. And they've started acquiring stuff. Because when God calls them to pick up and move again, they've got a lot of stuff they got to get together, right? All their possessions. And they've even acquired people. And there's family. And there's nephews. And they are less than ready to be mobile again in a hurry, right? They have just kind of stalled out on this journey. And my friend, Lee Hall Moses, she says that this encounter with God might be the kick in the pants that they need to get moving again. That is, they started on this journey and they just stopped. And it's not so much that God is calling them to go in a new direction. It's just that God is calling them to get up and get moving again. Lee says it's an invitation to carry on what's already been started, to keep going on the journey. And this is a stewardship truth if I've ever heard one, because we who call ourselves Christians, we are not necessarily called to radical changes in direction. Lots of churches in this 21st century are thinking deeply about mission, and we need new ways to frame it, and we need new ways to think about it. No. We just need to get up from the place where we stopped and keep going in the direction that God sent us in the first place. From the beginning. We're in Genesis now, so we're in the beginning. Chapter 12. This is like before you get to the place where you check out, right, in the Bible. So we're in the very beginning. And from this very beginning, the mission of God's people has been outward. It's always been a trajectory from like an inner circle outward to bring other people into this family. And it runs from Abraham, which is this very seed of our faith, and it runs all the way from here through the Hebrew Bible, through the ministry of Jesus, through the New Testament church, and through the history of the church. This trajectory of God sending God's people out. When God calls people together, it never has been so much for the people inside of it. It's not a club that exists for its members. When God calls people together, God calls them together to be an agent of hope and healing for a wider world that is full of pain and injustice. And what's happened is that along the way, we've thought it was time to just put down roots and stay where and how we are. And we close ranks a little bit and we become a club that does exist for its members. But God is always calling the church to keep moving. Keep moving, and it's in a specific direction, toward the margins, toward the oppressed, toward the patterns of use and abuse, toward speaking truth to power, toward binding up the brokenhearted. This is not new. It's not a new direction. The destination is the same as it's always been. It's a journey that started before us, and it's a journey that's probably going to keep going after us. So the question is, are we going to be open to moving in this direction for our season on this journey? Or are we going to get bogged down with all the stuff that's keeping us comfortable and resistant to change? I heard an Episcopal priest at a workshop I was at recently, and he said, God will always have the church God needs to bring about the mission of God. God will always have the church that God needs to bring about the mission of God. The question is, will we have anything to do with that church? In other words, God is going to find who God needs to get done what God wants done, whether or not we are willing to be those people. So will we pick up the work that has been done before us and keep moving in the direction that God has always been sending people? You know, there are only a few of us here, whether there are any here this morning, who are part of the work of beginning this church, this particular congregation. And the rest of us just have come along sometime after. We just picked up the baton, and we will probably leave it for those who come after us. So the question just is, are we going to keep moving the way God has called us to move? Are we going to be faithful in our season? The second thing I want to lift up is that the promise to Abram and Sarai is about offspring. That's ridiculous because Abram's 75 years old, and the verses that come after this, he tells Sarah she's going to have a child, and she just laughs it off. That's why Isaac gets his name, laughter. And we could think about this story as being specifically about fertility, but this is way too narrow a way of seeing what God is up to. Because what God says is that through Abram and Sarah, God is going to birth a nation, a great body of people, a way of changing the world. This is more than one child. This is more than any child. They are called to be co-creators with God. And this is another thing that runs throughout the Hebrew Bible. From the beginning, God creates, right? At the beginning of Genesis, God makes. And what God makes are partners. This is the only time that God creates alone in Genesis. The rest of the time, God creates through God's creation, through humanity. God creates alongside us and through us rather than creating alone. So we have been given these abilities, these creative abilities, all of us, to discover new things, to work, to produce. Think about it. Think about our ability to create, to invent, to imagine, to study, to be connected to the world through a device that you can fit in your pocket, to imagine, to understand, to discern, to create. We have been given this ability to create, and not just physical things, but emotional things, spiritual things. Not just physical spaces, but spiritual spaces that we create in this world. And we can create things that are life-giving, or we can create things that are life-depriving. Because this ability that we have to create has gone wrong a lot. But the truth is that we are still equipped to be co-creators with God in birthing this new kingdom that God wants to see spring forth in the world. So the traditional question that we meet every year, and we look at our budget, and we look at, you know, spending last year, and we spend X percentage of this last year, and, you know, what do we want to spend for this year? That the question is, what does our budget look like? But that's not the question. The broader question is, what does God want to see born and carry? What does God want to see born in North Carolina? What does God want to see born in the world? What does God want us to give birth to? Is it a mental health ministry? Does God think that we need a racial justice ministry? Does God think we need a safe and loving place for our kids to explore faith back where they are right now, wondering and asking questions about these biblical stories? Does God need a place for vegetables to grow in a garden? Does God need a generation of kids who love camp and just being in God's presence? That's a stewardship question. What is God birthing in the world through us? What is God using us to bring about? The last thing I want to lift up is this. It's on, actually on your insert, on the insert in your bulletin. Don't read it now. Take it home with you. It quotes Rob Bell, popular speaker, author, in his book about the Bible, What's the Bible? And he says, points out that there's a big change here in this passage, in the commissioning that God gives to Abram, and actually not just that God gives to Abram, but that what God gives to all of Abram's descendants. Rob Bell says, before this moment, family units and tribes existed for self-protection. They existed for each other. They cared for each other. They grew in number and status, and they provided a defense against people from outside the tribe. But here, God gives Abram's family or clan a different vocation. God says, I am going to bless you for the purpose of blessing other people. In other words, your family is not going to exist for one another. Your family is going to exist for all other families. Now, he says, I am blessing you to be a blessing, which we've no doubt heard a lot of, a lot of cliches about being blessed to be a blessing. And we do some bad stuff with the word blessing. Really bad. As if blessing implies favor. Blessing is actually a word that we use for getting lucky. Or a blessing is the way that actually what has happened is that the system has benefited me. I'm blessed if I don't have to panhandle for food. I'm blessed if I'm more or less healthy and not in the cancer ward. I'm blessed if I have that much more than I need. But the blessing of God in this passage, the blessing of Abram and Sarah, is not for Abram and Sarah. It is for all of the others with whom they will share that blessing. So let me use an example that we might understand in this part of our state. I spend a lot of time watching basketball. And sometimes you'll hear people talk about a ball stopper. On offense, team is moving the ball, passing it back and forth. They're switching sides of the court. They're getting the defense to move around so that lanes will open up. And that's when the beautiful choreography of basketball happens. There's cutting and screening and curling. And then all of a sudden it stops because one guy got it. And he stops looking up for the others around him. He just looks straight ahead at his defender and starts pounding the ball. And dribbling, and dribbling, and dribbling. And then everybody else all of a sudden is just standing around and watching. And finally he dribbles, and he dribbles, and he dribbles, and he makes a move and throws up a crazy shot. So the ball stopped. He's a ball stopper. The ball stops with him. Everything can be going great, and then he breaks up the rhythm. This is what happens when we think of blessing as favor. Whatever is meant to be shared and be flown freely between people, when we think of it as favor, it stops with us, and we hold it. So whatever you have in your life that you think is a blessing, might be a gift of abundance, it might be a relationship, it's not meant to stop with you. So like if we didn't have so many ball stoppers in our culture, right, healthcare wouldn't be a blessing. A comfortable home wouldn't be a sign of good fortune. The circumstances in which you were born wouldn't determine so much about the rest of your life. So whatever blessing you have is a gift from God given to you for the blessing of the rest of the world. And you don't lose it by giving it away, because you really understand that when you share it, you're sharing something that was never really yours to begin with. If God blessed you with it, it never belonged to you. The ball is not yours, it belongs to all of us. So consider all the things that you enjoy about this church. Maybe you enjoy coming here and seeing people who seem to really be glad to see that you're here. Maybe it's been a place that has been a solace and a refuge for you at a time when you were really struggling. Maybe it has been a place where you finally feel free to ask questions about what it means to believe in God and to follow Jesus that you were never allowed to ask before. And if that's a blessing for you, you got to stop holding the ball. You can't be a ball stopper. The place must be a blessing for you, or else you wouldn't be here. You would be at La Farm having brunch or somewhere else nice. At Bond Park, taking a walk. It's a beautiful day. It must mean something to you. And if God has blessed you through it, then stop holding the ball. The world has enough ball stoppers without the church adding to it. So the question is, we can be receptacles for God's blessings, right? Receptacles for the good gifts of God that just hold them and store them and keep them. Or we can be conduits through which God's blessings flow into the rest of the world around us. So next week is our last week about stewardship. And it's important. We're going to have the practical questions. You'll get a pledge card in your hand, and you'll think about dollars and cents, and you'll think about pushing yourself to new seasons of growth as a community. And our question for this series has been, what shall we bring? And what you will bring in that moment is you will bring only what God has given you. You'll bring your blessing. You'll bring the thing that God has given you in that moment, whatever that is, whatever God has given you. And the question will be, how am I called to not hold it, but share it? And this is about making sure that the light of God that is shining in our lives and in our community does not stop with us, right? Because Light can be absorbed, it can be reflected, or it can be refracted and spread in 1,000 different directions, altered and changed and amplified and colored and put in different ways and shined in different corners so that the world knows the love of God that we have, the light of God that we have received. To make sure that that light which shines in each one of us flows into a hurting world so that, as God tells Abraham, you are blessed so that the world may be blessed. Not so you that you may be blessed, so that the world may be blessed. Maybe the world be blessed through us, now and always. Amen.